Partner webinar. Before we get started, I want to review a few housekeeping items and also let you know how you can participate. You have joined today's webinar muted using your computer's speaker system or voiceover IP by default. This means if you can hear music through your computer, you will be able to hear the presentation. I've taken a screenshot of the attendee webinar interface. You should see something that looks like this on your own computer desktop in the upper right corner. If you would like to call in using the telephone, just locate your audio pane and select Use Telephone. The dial-in information and access code will display. You will have the opportunity to ask questions of our analysts using your questions pane. Simply type in your question and click Send. At the end of the presentation, we will do a Q&A session to take as many questions as we have time for. This presentation will be recorded and will be sent to you automatically within 24 to 48 hours as well. Now I will hand it over to Jennifer Walter.
Thank you, Beatrice. My name is Jennifer Walter. I'm Managing Vice President with Gartner. And on behalf of Gartner Vice President and Distinguished Analyst Jay Paltz, I'd like to welcome you to our webinar series. In the next hour, Jay will be covering a topic that is especially relevant today, how to significantly reduce network costs. As you likely know, Gartner is the world's largest provider of IT research and advisory services. We deliver technology-related insight to help our clients make better decisions every day. Gartner serves our clients in many ways, one of which is a research relationship that gives you direct access to over 650 analysts. Jay Paltz has been a key stakeholder in Gartner's research on infrastructure and operations for many years. He works directly with clients every day to help them set IT investment levels and optimize the return on those investments. Today, Jay will share some of those same specific recommendations that he gives our clients. And with that, I'll turn the meeting over to Vice President and Distinguished Analyst Jay Paltz.
Thank you, Jen. That's almost an embarrassing title, but I've been a Gartner. It really means I've been a Gartner for over 13 years. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this webinar on how to significantly reduce networking costs in particularly these times in the economy straits that we're under right now. It's gratifying that so many have joined us today. This certainly is a resonant chord with our clients and with you all, with CIOs, with infrastructure and operations leaders, and particularly networking and telecom managers. With the group that's joined the call today, we've reached over the 2,000 mark in the number of folks that have been on these webinars. We started these webinars, by the way, in October. This is the sixth time that either myself or one of my colleagues has presented it. You know, the economy, networking have changed since then, and we've updated, we've revised this presentation to bring it more in line and present some new material if you happen to catch the webinar in one of its earlier incarnations. Networking is a large part of the total IT expenditures of an enterprise, typically 20 to 30% of the total IT spend. And it represents a large cost opportunity. And there's a number of reasons that I'll get into that I'll focus on why there should be a focus when you're looking at ways to reduce costs overall in IT, that you should look at networking in particular. In our time together, I can only give you a brief summary of some of our suggestions on how to reduce cost. But I can tell you this, conservatively, if you fully implement the recommendations that we'll be making in this presentation, you can save 25% or so of your networking cost through this year and through 2010. And I'll come up with and show you how we arrive at that number as we go through this. Sizable opportunities, 25% of networking spend, that equates to 5% or so of total spend in terms of IT, if you implement all the suggestions here. I can only give you a brief summary, as I mentioned, but at the end of my remarks, I'll give you some suggestions on how you can dig deeper. Some of the research that we have generated, we have produced this year on ways to reduce cost in networking and in infrastructure and operations. Clearly, this is a heavy focus of our research agenda for this year. But before we get into this, just wanted to introduce myself a little bit. Not a vain person, but webinars tend to be a little bit more impersonal, so I just wanted to give you a snapshot of what I look like and a couple things about myself. Been a Gartner for 13 years. I started primarily as a networking analyst, looking primarily at strategies for enterprises versus being on the vendor side. For the last 3 years, I've been what Gartner calls a role service director for infrastructure and operations. That includes networking, also includes data centers, IT operations, and so forth. Been in the industry for over 35 years, both in IT and networking. Started my career at Bell Labs as a systems engineer, was a consultant at Booz Allen, worked as a product manager at GE, and as what Gartner calls a INO, or infrastructure operations leader, at what now is JP Morgan Chase. And I have some educational credentials. That's enough about myself, but I want to, before I get into some ways to save money, I want to ask you a few questions. We're going to do some interactive polls, two up front, and then one clear at the end. Now, we've polled folks before on webinars like this on what their overall, what's happening in their budget. I can tell you that in the infrastructure and operations budget, the INO budget, which includes networking, 60% have been told to take significant reductions. Of those, 60% of those polled have been asked to take significant reductions compared to their 2008 budget. And significant we take is 5% or more, given the fact of growth. Network budgets, when we've polled folks in these webinars, have fared a little bit better, but clearly there's a lot of pressure to reduce costs. But I want to ask you a specific polling question to begin today's session. And one of the things that's come up is the question dealing with CapEx and OpEx. Now, presents our ability to go out and purchase new hardware, new gear, perhaps invest in things like telepresence. OpEx is the ongoing cost of keeping the lights on, the recurring expenses that you have. So I'd like to ask you, in terms of your 2009 networking budget, do you find it kind of, given the constraints that you're under, that your issues with OpEx and CapEx are similar in terms of constraints, in terms of difficulty in living with the constraints, or is OpEx greater than CapEx and vice versa? Okay, so let's go to the first poll. And let me launch the poll now, and you can chime in now over the, for the next 60 seconds of what, which one of these aspects best fits you. Is OpEx and CapEx equally constraints for you? Is CapEx a bigger constraint, and if it's a bigger constraint, is it significant or just somewhat greater constraint than OpEx, and vice versa, is OpEx a greater constraint than CapEx, okay? So we've got a number of polled. I'll leave the poll up here for till things stabilize here for a while, and then we'll close the poll. Yeah, thank you all for participating in this poll. I have some results to compare these with, and I'll present those as soon as we close the poll here. Okay, it's almost time to close the poll. 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second, and let's close the poll and present the results. I have to press share results, is that right? Okay, the results, you should be able to see them on the screen now. About a third of you said that both OpEx and CapEx are kind of equally terms of constraints. 39% said that CapEx is more of a constraint. That is what we found out in previous polls. I think there's some rationale for this to be the result in that, you know, it's just very hard, even for larger corporations, to go to the capital markets now and if they don't have the cash on hand, obtain CapEx. And if you do have the cash on hand to afford investments, there is a tendency in this economy to, you know, cut back and only spend CapEx that you have to. Interesting results. Thank you for participating. Now close the poll and get into, let's see, did I close the poll? Yes. And get into the some of our findings. One of the first things we suggest is that really get a very good handle on your overall networking cost, what we at Gartner call total cost of ownership, and we pioneered the concept of TCO, looking at all the costs involved. When it comes to networking, costs fit into three large pieces of the pie, or bucket, if you will. Those include networking services, the types of services that you get from carriers, like AT&T, Verizon, and British Telecom. That typically makes up 40 to 60%, on average about 50% of the total IT budget and total cost of ownership. Equipment makes up a smaller portion, 15 to 25%. And network support, primarily the personnel, makes up about 40 to 50%. On this page, I just break down and list some of the things that you can do to reduce cost. In terms of equipment, it's negotiating your overall discounts, what you want to do in terms of maintenance and support. You can go directly to vendors. You can go through channels and so forth. I'll be getting into a lot of suggestions on ways to optimize your costs in this presentation. But the real key here is that you need to understand your total costs, and you need to understand those costs to a degree that you can make decisions about where to save money and what your cost structure actually is. You don't have to do, if you don't have a good summary and handle on your total networking costs today, to look for cost savings, you don't have to get a handle on everything in detail. Kind of an 80-20 rule fits on these costs as well. I would suggest if you don't have a good handle on your costs, take a good 2 weeks or so to get a good understanding of the major assets and the major costs that you have at a detailed level in networking. For a Fortune 50 firm that I work for, when we went through this, it took us a couple months to really get a good idea of what all the subsidiaries were doing, for example, in terms of network costs. But take about 2 weeks or so if you don't have a good handle on these costs already. The second aspect here is to baseline your cost against those of peers. There's a couple of points here. First of all, we at Gartner have a number of tools to help you in this baselining. For example, if you're a Gartner for IT Leaders client, that's the Gartner research product in which I am personally most involved. We, last quarter, introduced what we call ITKMD, a great marketing term, right, Jen? That stands for IT Key Metrics Data. And what it is a compilation of data that we gather from surveys of our clients, about 20,000 data points within the ITKMD database. And that provides a basis to compare your results on verticals and in different technical silos, including networking. And that networking, we can drill down to WAN costs, LAN costs, internet access, and so forth. What I've shown here is a snapshot of a roll-up from our ITKMD data. And what I've looked at is a total voice and data cost of ownership per network-attached user, and how that's varied over from 2002 to 2008. As you can see, the total cost per user has stayed relatively flat, but the mix has changed. Voice has gone down. Data has become a larger portion of the overall cost. There's a couple of dynamics going on here. One, network bandwidth continues to grow about 30% per year, but the network service rates, including voice rates, cents per minute for voice calls, for example, keeps going down about 10% per year. This year, rates have gone down significantly on the data side. In the U.S., some key data rates have dropped 40% in the last 6 months. Very significant changes. But you want to get an idea of what your costs are compared to your peers. When you go through and do this, one of the things you want to do is get this down to the vertical, because we found that these costs vary considerably by vertical. For example, on average, networking represents about 1.2% of the revenue of all the enterprises in our database. But that number is two or three times higher than that for certain segments, and about half that for very commodity-oriented segments. So you want to baseline your cost with those of peers. Another thing that this analysis can do is make you aware that you are going to naturally have some costs go down in terms of networking. Why? Well, unfortunately, as say if you're laying off 5% of your staff, some of your network costs will go down because they're directly proportional to the number of users that you have on the network. Secondly, we're likely to see somewhat less robust growth. Need a drink of water here. Hold on. We're going to see some less robust growth of bandwidth, other aspects of networking during this period. As business applications are slowed, new business applications are slowed in terms of the rollout, that affects the growth in terms of networking. So I think you should factor in about a 5% reduction from loss of staff and from less robust growth in terms of your budget compared to 2008. The third suggestion that we have in getting started is this. Establish a team, a task force, if you will, focus specifically on saving costs and specifically in networking. Assign some of your best staff. Make sure you have a financially qualified professional who can actually determine if this is a cost savings, cost avoidance, and what budget it comes out of. That might be someone, for example, that you have on loan from the overall finance organization for IT. You want to strengthen relationship management and make sure that you're in touch with the business, because some business initiatives may get deferred that impact networking. You want to define clearly cost-cutting goals and projects, and within the team, assign responsibility for getting individual projects done. Want to see what you can do to have a rapid approval process here, because this is a case where time is money. If it takes you a month longer to get a cost approval done, and that cost is primarily recurring cost or monthly cost, that's 8% of the savings that you've lost right there because it took a month to get it approved. So find ways in which, if you're going to save money here in a reasonable amount of time, that's a very quick go or no-go decision. And meet at least weekly on what's going on. Okay, I've given you three quick getting started ideas here. I'm going to do another poll, and before you groan, I'm going to let you know that there's only one other poll that's clear at the end, okay? And here's my polling question for you. Of the three ideas that I just presented in terms of understanding your total cost of ownership, baselining yourselves to peers, including on a, I have to scroll down to the next poll, right? There we go. Hold on a second. Trying to talk and operate this system at the same time. I'll launch the poll here. And this is multiple choice, not one choice. Do you understand your total cost of ownership in sufficient detail to really start using it to identify cost opportunities? Have you baselined and compared your cost to peers down to a vertical segment? And thirdly, have you established a team along the lines that I just talked about? I'll give folks about a half a minute here to continue voting, see how everyone has done. And the last choice is none of the above. Okay, we'll be closing the poll in, do a countdown here, in about 10 seconds, all right? So if you haven't voted, please vote now, or if you'd like to change your vote, you've only got 5 seconds to do it. Okay, going to close the poll now, and let's share the results. These are interesting results. 62% of you have a good understanding of your network TCO. That's good. I think in prior times we've asked that, the percentage was way down. The other two, I think we need some work on. You know, this is the time to establish a team. Only a third, about less than a third of you have done that. Same thing with baselining costs. So I would encourage you, if you haven't done those activities, and it looks like about 25% of you really feel that you haven't done any of these early getting started steps, I would encourage you to do these things. Doesn't take a lot of work, but it does get you started and focused on cost savings. Okay, thank you. And thank you for joining in on that poll. Now I'm going to get into the meat of the presentation and the main things I'm going to cover today. And really, there are six major ideas, major suggestions that we have of ways to contain, reduce, and optimize your networking costs. And here they are. Deferring non-critical key initiatives. I'll get into key initiatives and what we mean by that term in a second. Open up major networking contracts now. Even if your contract doesn't expire for another year or two, particularly network service contracts, the contracts that you have with communications carriers like AT&T, Verizon, and so forth. Two statements that sound like motherhood and apple pie, but they mean something specifically here. Make sure you're paying for just what you have, and make sure you are buying just what you need. And I'll get into what I mean by those two points. I have basically slides on each of these 6 points. Consolidate networking and also use networking to best consolidate other things in infrastructure and operations. The last is, this is an area where you may have to spend money in networking, but it results in reducing business costs. One other point I want to make on this slide is that use the proper tool here. If you've got to cut 10, 20% of your budget, don't take a scalpel to reducing costs, but use an axe and look at the big ticket items instead of small ticket items. That was advice provided to me by a boss early in my career. I won't tell you the full story behind it, but use of the right tool is essential here. Okay, let's get into the first one about deferring non-critical key initiatives. Back in June of last year, we defined 7 key initiatives that apply to infrastructure and operations. I showed them on this slide. One does not fully apply to networking, and that deals with Microsoft operating systems and so forth and migrating to them, although Microsoft is in the telecom space to some degree, particularly in IP telephony. But the other 6 initiatives do apply to networking. Modernizing, that would be things like going to voice over IP and using voice over IP to replace older 15-year-old, say, circuit switching telephone systems, consolidating networking, going to a single IP network, doing things like improving processes, and I'll get into some ideas that we have to improve processes when it comes to the NOC, or Network Operations Center. Green IT, mobile and remote working, voice over IP. Those are the key initiatives. These are huge projects, and we call them these huge projects key initiatives at Gartner that network managers focus in on. So I think there's two questions to ask about these large projects that you have underway. One, has something happened in the business that the key initiative is not needed as urgently as it was? For example, maybe there was more of a plan to have people work at home, and maybe those plans have been shelved somewhat by the business. Maybe you wanted to go to unified communications to support some new business applications, but since that is being slowed now within the business, that might be something that could be deferred. Okay? The second question to ask is, can the key initiative reduce costs within 18 months so that it has an impact in 2009, 2010? We project that, you know, the economy is likely to turn around sometime in 2010, but more to the latter part. So the idea here is to achieve cost savings in the time frame where the economy is really an issue. And if the answer to both, either one of these questions is no, then look at deferring, canceling, or slowing down the key initiative, okay? We think you should be targeting about a 5% savings through deferring or slowing down key initiatives. Let's go to the next idea, and this idea is the thought of looking at major contracts now. By the way, one of the reasons to do deferrals and to do them early on is this saves money automatically. You know, you had money in the budget for doing this key initiative. Now that can help you meet your reduced budget, for example. One of the things about network contracts, particularly network service contracts, that makes them very interesting is usually you have the ability to open up the contract, to renegotiate the contract with cause at any point. If your contract expires in 2010, 2011, and usually these are multi-year contracts, that shouldn't stop you from renegotiating the contract now. There's several reasons or ways that you can open up the contract. You may be able to play the "what you do now will be remembered" card, which basically says, "Hey, we will stick with you through this contract, but when we renew it 2-3 years from now, if you help us now or don't help us now, that will be remembered when we decide who gets our business 2-3 years down the road." Often lower market prices can trigger renegotiation, and we think that's powerful right now. For data network services, if you haven't renegotiated your contract in the last 6 months, you and your business is primarily in the United States, you are paying more than current market rates for data network services. Why? Because, as I mentioned, key data rates have dropped about 40% in the U.S. in the last 6 months. So likely you're paying too much if you haven't very recently renegotiated your contract. The other thing you can do is provide the vendor something. Extend the contract for another year, provide a piece of coveted business that you had given to a competitor, and add that to the contract. We help our clients all the time open up their contracts early. We review thousands of network contracts, and we can typically help you reduce costs 10 to 20% because we know the current market rates and we look at so many of these contracts. Other things you can do is ask for service credits in 2009, basically deferring payments into 2010, consolidate providers, but don't over-consolidate your providers in a space. And look to combine things like wireline and wireless into a single carrier and into a single bill to get greater discounts. Okay, as I said, we can typically help you save 10 to 20%, but let's just, for argument's sake, say that reviewing your contracts, renegotiating your contracts, you can save 5% of networking costs. That equates to about 3% here of total network savings. Next area, this is my statement of make sure you are paying for just what you have. This gets in the whole subject of telecom expense management. 80% of bills that you receive, particularly from common carriers, are wrong, and surprisingly, the errors are always in favor of the carrier and not you. Typically, you're being charged for something you no longer have, but there's a mistake on the bill and it hasn't been removed from the bill as yet. And the carriers don't make it easy for you. These bills are enormously complex. They provide an incredible amount of detail. When I used to be a network manager, cartons would arrive 12 years ago with a printout of our entire bill. Now that's on a CD-ROM, but it might be multiple CD-ROMs because it takes so much information. And, of course, now we also have this electronically over the web. But still, they're enormously complex. Telecom expense management software and services can help you make sure that you are paying for just what you have, and that errors in the bills are being rectified quickly. We track all the TEM vendors. There are more than 200 in this space. We can help you select whether you should have a software or a service and which one can best help you in your particular situation. Typically, TEM can save about 10% of network service bills. If you aren't doing and don't have a good TEM service in place as yet, put one in place, and we think you can reduce your costs, as I said, 10% in terms of network service costs. That equates to at least 3% of overall savings. Okay, so another area of make sure you have, well, this is getting now, we just talked about making sure the bill is right, that you're paying for just what you have. Now let's get into make sure you have just what you need. A typical solution by a carrier in going to a new network, and, you know, there have been a lot of upgrades over the last 5 years from, say, frame relay to MPLS, is a network that looks like this. It's an all MPLS network, and all the locations have a similar high availability that's brought in by duplicate everything philosophy, 99.99%. We see this kind of a network in place by countless clients in reviewing their network designs. Let's look at a slightly alternative design. I've done two things in this. One, we're using two IP networks now, not one. We're using MPLS for where service quality is needed, high service quality is needed, and we're using VPN connections for locations that are more cost sensitive, like if you're in the retail industry, maybe you would take all your stores and put them on a VPN network. So we've optimized, and we have a hybrid network using two IP technologies, MPLS and VPN. The other thing I've done here is I varied the availability, the uptime of networking for different kinds of sites. In the case of the data center, I've increased this by 1.9. In other locations where we could afford to have outages, very small offices, I've decreased it to as low as 99%. We've seen cases in which by making these two changes, right-sizing the availability and going to a hybrid network can reduce the cost of the applied network services here by as much as 50% compared to an MPLS network with high availability for all locations. So by right-sizing the design, optimizing the design, and we can help you with that, you can reduce your costs significantly. But let's not say you can reduce your cost 50%. Let's say the savings overall by taking these steps is about 5%. Okay? What else can you do? Let's take a look at bandwidth. I show at the top of the slide how bandwidth is usually arrived at by many, many clients. It's a guesstimating approach. Let's be honest. Most of the time, you're guessing how much bandwidth is needed, so you're pretty conservative on how much bandwidth is needed. Gartner has developed, and this is an extensive effort on our part, a bandwidth estimation model currently available as a methodology. It's been available for the last year as a methodology, and that means we have a detailed approach in what we call a toolkit that lets you go through and do this estimation process that we've come up with. But we will be releasing next month a spreadsheet version of this model that lets you put in things like the numbers and types of sites, the numbers and types of users, and the model estimates the bandwidth required by site by year. We figure that by refining the estimates on bandwidth, you might be able to save 15% or so on bandwidth cost. But in terms of overall networking cost, that's probably about 3% savings. Let's go to one other idea. The idea here is consolidation, consolidating networking and using networking to consolidate other parts of infrastructure and operations. This is a very busy slide. I'm showing different parts of I&O within the data center and outside the data center on the slide. The balloons are our suggestions of things that you can do. Let's first look at consolidation opportunities for networking. And we'll start with the clouds. That's a good place to start. A lot of folks have already done this, and that is to take their various voice and data networks and converge into an IP network. And as I said, you might want to, if you've done that and you're on MPLS, you might want to do a little bit of divergence and use two IP networks, VPN and MPLS, in concert. Secondly, let's look within the data center. Integrate and evolving to unified communications. First step is centralizing, simplifying email and messaging systems. In the data center, an overlooked aspect of consolidation within the data center is getting rid of all those little tactical Ethernet switches that were bought and put in big hulking terabit switches to replace them. Don't have time to go into the details here. We could do a whole webinar on just our suggestions for in-building networks. But ultimately, you want to move to an all Ethernet network within the data center. Controversial, but the reasons that we suggest going in that direction. Network security, well, as the threat gets worse, we keep adding new capabilities like intrusion prevention systems. Those are getting more and more integrated into single platforms, so integrate those platforms. Another area is, face it, you're never going to get the world of what clients have, your users, down to as simple as it was when I was a network manager. Mainly, 15 years ago, when I was a network manager, there were only two devices that users had, a phone on their desk and a PC. That was it. We had cell phones, but we weren't allowed to use it because it cost $1 a minute to make a cell phone call. Now, users demand different devices, smartphones, and so forth. We've come up with a strategy called managed diversity, where you control some of this choice, and you offer different tiers of service depending on what users choose. Look at the research of people like Ken Delaney and Federica Trani have done a lot of work on our managed diversity strategy. The other thing networking can do is it enables you to integrate, consolidate other things. Networking used to be a big drawback to saying taking servers outside of small locations and locating them back into the data center. But networking costs have dropped 10% per year consistently over the last dozen years or so. Broadband is more widely available. Now, there are better options to backup networking than were available even 5 years ago. So those things together mean that you can use networking now to relocate servers, storage systems, and other things back into data centers. You can also use networking to consolidate into fewer data centers. Okay? Incredible opportunities to both consolidate networking and use networking to consolidate our I&O. I think in these aspects, you should target a savings of about 5% or so in terms of networking budget of looking at areas that you haven't consolidated as yet. I want to get into a probably a controversial area, and this involves more of the operations side of networking and our suggestions, what needs to be done. Over time, we believe that it is going to make sense to take most of the network, the NOC, the Network Operations Center, and consolidate it with IT operations. Why? Because a lot of the processes are common. It doesn't matter if it's a network or the data center. An incident management process is the same pretty much for both of them. Some specialized aspects of networking, like like billing, invoicing, the financial aspects, are very custom to networking. But by and large, we think that the processes that are known as the ITIL processes can be integrated, which means integrating network operations with the IT operations center over time. The first step, there's an intermediate step to take, and that is getting away from thinking about network operations by technical silo. That's what I show in the far left of this chart. We have voice, data WAN, LAN, remote wireless, and start think and idolize, use ITIL to rebuild the network operations center around the processes that are involved. ITIL defines 10 processes. Five deal with network delivery, five deal with network support. And then ultimately, those elements that make sense, combine things on a process-by-process basis, and also have an integrated service desk that is handling not only networking, not only data center, but also application problems. It's integrated across the company. We believe that you should be targeting about a 5% savings to do this kind of consolidation. One last major idea here. This is a place where you might have to spend networking dollars to achieve business cost reductions. And I'm pretty much primarily going to talk about reducing travel costs by telepresence and video conferencing systems. Look, we tried this several years ago, and it didn't work. Why? Because we bought a nice video conferencing system. It had its quirks like, jerky motion and delays in voice, and people didn't use it that much, except maybe us. And business people like to travel. You know, we may have made a case 5 years ago that buying the system would reduce costs, but people continued to travel. We think this economic conditions have become so dire that companies are willing to actually cut business travel to help meet budgets. We see it. We at Gartner see it. I'm traveling less now than I did in prior years as a Gartner analyst. There are some drawbacks, as I said, to the standard video conferencing systems that exist today. They're inexpensive, but their quirks, their issues make them not used very much. Telepresence, you're probably aware of the new telepresence systems that work on HD, that have screens that show people almost life-size, and even the conference table at the far end, and will look like the conference table in your room. The walls will be painted the same, so if you forget for a moment, it feels like the people on the far end are part of the conference that are right there. It's that real. There's also telepresence light, where you don't go to all this work on the rooms, but it's still high definition, high quality, this chart a very simple analysis of looking at travel costs, including conservative estimate of time lost by travel, and assumed kind of regional travel within the U.S. or Europe, and looked at the cost. This is kind of point-to-point travel. In other words, traveling from point A, location A in a company, to location B in a company. And the analysis is kind of interesting. The payback for these systems, depending on the system, is only about 2 to 6 person trips per month, which means that for a large number of locations, these systems may prove in. But again, it's an area where you need to spend money to save money. For that reason, I don't think you should be targeting this as a potential savings. Although, I want to present some results from a poll that we did the last time we did this webinar. 55% of those polled, well over 100 people, said they plan to use video conferencing and related collaboration techniques like web conferencing. Their plans for 2009 are up slightly, or they're planning to implement greater capabilities. 30% told us that they have significant plans, even in this budget-cutting year 2009, to implement these systems. 15% say they have no plans at all. So we think there's real capability to reduce costs within the business costs, by investing in teleconferencing, particularly telepresence light and full telepresence systems. Here are a few other suggestions we have to reduce cost. Moving from corporate liability, move to corporate liability from personal liability for wireless services actually has a big impact. A couple percent of total network savings can be achieved. Deploy voice over IP, but don't invest in the fancy IP phones with multiple screen with a big screen and maybe a video conferencing capability. Use IP trunks instead of PRI ISDN lines. Don't future-proof your network investments. In other words, vendors will say, well, you don't need this capability right now, but it's built into the equipment, so therefore you ought to buy this version of the equipment. Look, the time you need those features, you're going to be replacing that equipment anyway. So don't future-proof. Buy just what you need to get the job done now. Also, look at new options, managed services, cloud services, other alternative delivery models. It's hard to do everything yourself. Look at getting help on the outside on a selective basis. We think you should, from these set of 5 ideas, maybe target that 2% savings total can be done by doing things that are on this list that you haven't done as yet. Okay, I've gone through a whole set of cost savings here, and if you just added up my target percentages as I went through this presentation, you come up with that by fully implementing these ideas, you could save 35% of your networking costs in the 2009-2010 timeframe. I make this 2010 for 2 reasons. One, we're a quarter of the way into 2009, so it's getting a little bit late to have a big impact on 2009. 2, economists tell us that we're going to be facing this downturn into 2010. You know, on New Year's Day 2010, we're not going to probably be popping champagne and say the recession's all over. So by adding up the targets, I come up with 35% of networking costs can be saved by doing all these things fully. Now, let's just be conservative and say you've done some of this, but you could still do some more. I think, you know, typically there's probably 20-25% of costs that could be saved by fully implementing the suggestions I just went through. And I can just go through kind of the tip of the iceberg in the webinar today. So I did want to ask you one more question, and the question is this, and then we'll close, and then you can ask me some questions. And here's my polling question. I show on this chart a number of ideas, and I'm not going to show, and I want to know how complete you see that you are in doing five of the six ideas I presented on this chart. One, and I'm taking reasonably complete as you feel that you're kind of at a 70% or greater completion level. And this is multiple choice, so you can choose several things. Have you renegotiated all your major vendor contracts recently to take into account, say, market prices going down? Are you making sure that you pay for just what you you're paying for just what you have, and that's using telecom expense management? Are you making sure that you have just what you need by doing things like estimating bandwidth well, by optimizing the design of your network? Have you fully used networking to consolidate networks, and are using networking to consolidate the rest of INO? And have you utilized networking to reduce the cost of the business? Getting some interesting percentages here. I'll wait just a few seconds for things to wrap up. Okay, let me close the poll and display the results. These are pretty encouraging results. So the results indicate that about half of you feel that you're at a 70% completion level on these projects. But I suspect that, you know, some of you have done more on some of these areas than in others. Still means that there's considerable room to achieve additional cost savings. And it also, since I ask you to respond yes to these things, if you're at a 70% level, well, that still means that a number of you still have 30% more to go. But it's encouraging that you've adopted some of these principles. It sounds like there's still room to save money. We help clients time and time again to find additional opportunities in these areas, as well as some others, to save additional dollars. So if you're a Gartner client, you know, please talk to us. Okay, that's the end of the poll. Thank you. I did promise that I will some research, and I'll explain what toolkit is in a moment, that we've done this year that can help you drill down further into some of the areas I presented. So I've got a list of six top pieces of research listed on this chart. There are also six toolkits. What's a toolkit? Well, these are things to help you get your job done that are exclusive to Gartner for IT leader clients. There are things like an RFP template, for example. We believe that we can create a Word document that will be 80% of what you need to get an RFP out on the street. So you only need to take that, adapt it to your own use, and get it out on the street. And this is an area where time is money. And what I mean by that, if we can save you 2 or 3 months of getting an RFP out, that's 2 or 3 months faster that you're going to see savings. Okay? Vendor influence curve, very, very useful tool to have the best relationship, optimal relationship with your strategic vendors. Bandwidth estimation model, I've indicated that we will shortly have a spreadsheet version of our way to estimate bandwidth available to users, and a couple of the other things go through our suggestions on terms and conditions and contracts. So if you're interested, if you are a Gartner client, you can just type in the document number and get access to these. If you're not a Gartner client and are interested in learning more about my suggestions here, contact your account executive, okay? Okay. And if you want to learn more, we have an Infrastructure and Operations Summit this June. We do have a special networking track that's been added this year. Our focus in the past has been on more on the data center side of infrastructure and operations. Now, I talked about being a Gartner for IT Leaders client. That's a premium research level that we have that provides you access to these tools, the key metrics data, and also a very popular new service, the Gartner Dating Service, that allows you to find peers who have solved problems that you're now facing. With that, let me turn it back to Jen. I know we're getting a little short on time, and then we'll open it up and I'll address some of your questions. I can take some more by things like email. Thank you very much. Jen?
Thanks, Jay. That was really useful advice. This slide that we're looking at here outlines the four distinct ways that Gartner can take cost out of IT. For those of you who are clients on the call, be sure to engage with our analysts and your account executive to get most of the resources available to you today, even beyond the documents that Jay has already referenced. For those of you considering a relationship with Gartner, you should know that our experts will first get you the best pricing and terms on your IT purchases. Second, pinpoint your major cost savings opportunities. Third, identify technologies for implementation that truly lead to cost savings. And fourth, identify cost savings process improvements. Times like these are when an investment in Gartner pays off most. So now, Jay, if you can switch the slides.
Sure.
This has all the contact information that you need. If you'd like a copy of the slides or have follow-up questions, contact your Gartner account executive. If you're not sure who that is, you can email us directly at GartnerWebinars@Gartner.com with that request. And also, any questions you have specifically, you can type into the question window inside GoToWebinar right now. Jay, I have a few questions for you here.
Okay. And we can take questions to, like 5 after the hour. I know we're almost up to the hour, so I'll take as many questions as I can in the next, 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay, great. And one of the questions we had was if you could scroll back to the slide that was before the hatchet and the scalpel slide. So if you can put it on there, that will help us with one of them.
Okay.
That had your recommendations on it. So the first question we had was, what are the components included in the cost per user? This was an early question.
Okay.
Cell phone costs?
There's a number of things for the cost per user. It includes all equipment costs, includes personnel costs, includes network service costs. We look at it a little different than per user in that we look at network attached subscribers. And the reason we do that is that in some industry segments like manufacturing, a number of the employees may be very light users of networking resources. So it's a way that we factor down the number of employees to those people who are principal users of voice and data. So this is an estimate that includes, kind of a roundup of all costs that comprise the total cost of ownership for voice and data. It does not include wireless, by the way. Wireless is separate. So if you factored in wireless, these costs would be several hundred dollars a year more than what I'm indicating in this chart. So it's wireline, voice, and data. Total cost of ownership is what's represented in this slide. And this is a roll-up of several aspects that are within our ITKMD database. Okay.
Great. And can you expand on the idea of moving to corporate liable wireless?
Sure. It's a very simple idea. A lot of corporations basically have a discount buying plan with say Verizon. Just to throw out a name. But the way it's written is that each employee is billed separately and is liable for their wireless bill. By taking responsibility for those bills on a corporate basis, you can save 5 to 10% of your wireless expenditures by the corporation taking liability instead of it being an individual employee liability. The carriers often don't tell you of this option, and the standard contracts are written on the basis that it's individual liability, not corporate liability.
Great. Thank you, Jay. Next question is, have you considered WAN optimization technologies as a means to reduce networking costs?
A simple answer would be yes, but let me elaborate on that. You know, WAN, what we call WOCs, WAN optimization controllers, can also reduce bandwidth as well as improving. You know, I went through a technique to highlight a model that we have that will help you estimate bandwidth needs more accurately. But the other techniques are using WOCs. A WAN optimization controller can do several things. The first and foremost is it compresses data. So, you know, there are very sophisticated algorithms available now to compress data by factors much more than 2 to 1. So if you can compress data, you can save bandwidth. At work, they're particularly useful for connections that that are global in nature, because the bandwidth costs are more dear on a global basis, because you have to buy a box, a walk, at both ends of the circuit. But you can save 40 to 50% of your bandwidth costs, which can often pay for the cost of having the additional box. You need to factor in, though, that it's more than just the cost of the box. It's also the maintenance of that box, and now you're going to have personnel within your organization who are familiar with that technology and can optimize it. Okay?
Great, and I'll just ask one last question. Are there specific caps appropriate to incorporate into network contracts?
You know, we suggest that typically there's what's known as a minimum annual commitment, or a MAC, and I think that's what they're referring to. It might be another thing that there's another possible interpretation of that question. But a MAC is the minimum that you are committed to spend with that particular carrier. We've recommended max around 60% of what you think your average spend is, just to give you flexibility. This might be something that you're interested in increasing in these times, if you have a real good handle on what your usage is, because a higher commitment means that that's revenue that the carrier can bank on. In other words, if you go from 60 to 70%, that might be, you know, in a $10 million contract, that's another $1 million of revenue that the carrier knows that they will have, because you're contractually obligated to spend that sort of money. So 60% in normal times, if you really are on top of your numbers here, you might want to go increase that to 70% to renegotiate contracts. The other interpretation would be one of having caps on what can happen to prices. You know, most prices are going down, so caps on prices for going up usually aren't necessary. People try to have ways in which costs automatically go down, and that's difficult to do. So we suggest the best way is to renegotiate when there's been a significant drop in prices. How can you know that there's a significant drop in prices? Well, if you're a Gartner client, you can call us up and ask us, and we can tell you, you know, based on the pricing in your contract today, does it make sense to reopen the contract because prices have dropped over the last several months? Okay? So any other questions, Jen, or are we good to close?
That's it. We're good to close, Jay.
Okay, great. Thank you all for joining us today. As Jen said, you know, there's ways to get additional information from the presentation to research, or if you are joining this call and you're not a Gartner client, of how you can become a Gartner client. And I think this is an area that we time and time again have offered our clients ways to, you know, reduce their costs much more than the cost of our services. So if you're not a Gartner client, hope you will become one. Okay, I think that concludes our webinar today. Thanks again, and see you on future calls or events, or if you're a Gartner client, on the phone. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.